I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by...
When one is able to repeatedly step into the purity and heart and space of genuine and heightened awareness, miracles manifest. Conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of it to where the destination of such a path, when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is most definitely for sure one of my most unforgettable of moments within my life. And so welcome, good evening everyone, and good evening world. And welcome on this wonderful night to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I am your new host, Joel Ayala Ayapana. And thank you for joining me here on the BBS Radio Network. It is most wonderfully for sure an honor and a privilege to being here with you tonight, as I am announcing at this very moment the premiere of my very first online radio talk show, of many, and I will guarantee of the many topics worthy of deeply felt discussion and thought-provoking analysis. We are currently broadcasting live on the BBS Radio Network, and my new show, Quantum Mindfulness Radio, will be broadcasted every other Monday, twice monthly, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This one-hour radio talk show will focus on topics and headline news related to quantum mindfulness, a term that I have coined, and a state of awareness that can be utilized as the tools, the shielding, and the armor of resilience, to where the theoretical constructs and to where the most profound and amazing of findings discovered by researchers of quantum physics are integrated with heart-centered research-based science and in mindfulness, mindful awareness. Now, as a registered nurse and as a newly acclaimed public speaker, I have utilized many elements of this philosophy in coordination with dialectical behavioral therapy, in one-to-one interventional therapy, and in group therapy sessions on several psychiatry units. And I have displayed and spoken about its effectiveness in tandem with my own personal experiences throughout several speaking events in northeastern Ohio. Now, I would first like to make mention for all of my dear and wonderful family and friends, I would like to dedicate my very first broadcasting of this talk show to you, and to not only forget about my roots and then how it all began, I dedicate this very first broadcast to my endearing hometown of Pagbilao, Philippines. Many blessings as well to all of the souls throughout the rest of the world and performing their own part in spreading the message of truth, love, and light to the rest of mankind and raising conscious awareness. And as a reminder, so that all of my brothers and sisters, friends and family in the Philippines are fully made aware, Quantum Mindfulness Radio will be broadcasted on Tuesdays, every other week, 11 o'clock a.m. in Manila, Pacific Standard Time in the Philippines. And in all the other countries whom lie eastern of the United States, this online radio talk show will also be broadcasted at 1 o'clock p.m. Tuesday in Brisbane, Australia, 3 o'clock p.m. in London, England, and 4 o'clock p.m. in Lagos, Nigeria. And many further blessings to all of the dearest of souls from Palawan, Marinduque, Cebu, Panay, and in Mindanao, and to the many other portions of the Philippines whom have been struck by Typhoon Yolanda in November of 2013. May all the survivors and victims of such a tragedy heal contently and be exposed to all of the support, love, and abundance from the rest of the world. We must all bless the tragedy and all tragedies to bringing love and light to this situation and in all situations. May further blessings be encouraged upon all of the olden and existing tribes of the ancients throughout the rest of the world, the Aborigines of Australia, the Yati and Nyata of the Philippines, the Dogon tribes of Africa, the remnants of the Incan Lemurian Empire, the Cherokee, the Lakota, the Hopi, the Rapa Nui of Easter Island, and the Kanaka Maoli of ancient Polynesia. May we all encompass and hold dear the memory and spirit of Mahalika, the spirit of Lemuria, the spirit of connection within all of our hearts. Now, just to briefly describing the meaning and significance of Mahalika. Mahalika was the name designated to the Philippines before even the Spanish had named the Philippines to what it is currently named today. Mahalika was one of the seven provinces or island subcontinent nations connected to the fabulous and fabled existence of Lemuria. Now, these many differing cultures, varying cultures, surviving cultures within and along the rim of the Pacific have always known and believed of the existence of Lemuria. Now, these many differing cultures, varying cultures, surviving cultures within and along the rim of the Pacific have always known and believed of the existence of Lemuria and in the significance of Mahalika in close relationship. Now, Lemuria within itself was once known a landmass that was above the sea level and for which it was a thriving existence which exuded the world of our hearts. Now, these intriguing topics, Mahalika and Lemuria, are one from among the other intriguing topics worthy of discussion, which will be covered within the next following weeks. So stay tuned on this show, Quantum Mindfulness Radio, for further updates and positive news coverage. Additionally, I will be covering in a future show the connection of my familial Ayapanane on my father's side, as it within itself relates to and ties even deeper, surprisingly enough, to Peruvian and Incan descent. Now, the Ayapana name within itself relates to a herbal root that can only be found in South America. And it is only indigenous, more specifically, to Peru. And so again, we will be talking about this a little bit further in the next coming shows. But first things first, I would like to introduce myself for amongst the many who neither know of my name, my heritage, my educational level, my nationality, nor know of anything that I have ever accomplished within the far or most recent of past history. My name is Joel Ayala Ayapana. Now on the surface, I was born in the small village of Pagbilao, within the string of archipelago islands of the Philippines. But deeply seated within the Ayapana name is a strong and profound history, a history tied again to Peruvian connection. And within that connection lies a deeper genetic link to Incan magnificence. And even further within that connection lies the root to Lemuria once more. A once prominent and distinguished existence for when humanity had once lived accordingly to the heart. And this was an existence which lied within the Pacific. I moved at the age of 2, along with my parents, to the United States with high hopes and aspirations to living a new life, the good life, the American dream. Eventually, my parents and I became naturalized citizens of the United States. And the journey itself was indeed most difficult. It took a great deal of courage and acquired inspiration from my parents to performing such a feat and literally starting over from scratch and leaving a place of comfort from their homelands and then starting a new and adventurous life to to that of a new and exciting beginning. My mother graduated from college as an educator, and my father was also a professional working in the Philippine government as a certified accountant. My father commuted frequently from the village to the crowded inner and downtown city streets of Manila. When we had finally moved from the comfort zones of our own homeland and into the realms of uncharted Ayala and Ayapana territory, the United States, we took refuge and stayed for a shortened time with my father's sister. And my father's sister, my Auntie Lina, lived in Warrensville, Ohio at the time with my Uncle Eddie. And we lived there until my parents had established themselves financially after acquiring local work within the Cleveland metropolitan area. Now, I remember the times when we didn't have much food. We didn't have furniture, essentially, within the very beginning. We didn't possess any of those things in the most distinguished of quality nor manner, nor of any wealth of mass abundance. But I do remember the hard work and resiliency that both of my parents portrayed in order to sacrifice from what they had allowed to let go from the comforts of familiarity that they possessed, even if they should have stayed in the Philippines instead. I do remember, in fact, the perception of love, safety, security, and abundance that they continually portrayed to me from all of their sacrifice and hard work, from so much more, derived from so much less. And on top of that, if it wasn't most difficult enough, my family and I had faced and tasted a portion of what the United States began to offer, not only of the opportunity that was marketed and advertised throughout the rest of the world, but within the acts of racism, ridicule, and segregation, which still existed during those times, even after the 60s and 70s, even after all of the struggles for which minority groups have struggled with and experienced throughout that time. But in reflection, believe it or not, it still exists today. But we as a nation, no matter of what color, race, nor religion, nor spirituality, we all face another form of racism which persists beyond the types of segregation that exist upon these modern days, upon the mere superficiality and the surface tension of skin color and creed. But we will be covering this intriguing and deepening topic and in conversing about this new form of racism and enslavement that we all face today on the second half of the show. So continuing on, after the social struggles experienced through elementary school and in high school, I joined the military and I enlisted in the United States Air Force, where I dedicated my service for 4 years to the post-war efforts of Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, after the Gulf War. Now, after the United States had first attempted their invasion into Iraq in 1990, certainly my level of awareness of what was really and truly transgressing throughout the global and political landscape was significantly downplayed, diminished, minimized. I fed into the hysteria and in all of the propaganda, and that's when I had decided to join in on the fight. I decided to join the military in 1991. But regardless of what was true, nor potentially real, of the true intentions of the war, and in the truest reason of why we required a United States presence within the Middle East, I continued to believe of what was being advertised and marketed by the popular media. After those 4 years in the military, I attended college at Cleveland State University for 6 to 7 years, where I acquired 2 bachelor's degrees, one in psychology and the other in nursing, and where I am currently working on my master's degree today in nursing informatics. Shortly after college, I immediately dove straight into the world of behavioral health nursing. I have been practicing within the specialized nursing field of behavioral health for nearly 11 years within the Cleveland, Ohio region. Fortunately, I have been blessed with such an opportunity in performing such inspirational work through the application and instruction of dialectical behavioral therapy, positive psychology, quantum mechanics, and heart-centered research-based science towards invariable populations amongst vast and widening socioeconomic scope. From the mentally ill, the homeless, victims of substance abuse, anxiety disorders, and depression. And just to tell you other assets and facets about who I am as Joel Ayala Ayapana. I am a marathon runner, a Reiki therapist at Ursuline College at the Reiki Clinic, an ordained minister, a Kundalini yoga enthusiast, and traveler. I am also a public speaker. I will be performing a two-hour workshop at the Journey Expo at Lakeland Community College in Kirtland, Ohio, entitled Rediscovering the Power of Your Heart and Quantum Mindfulness on Sunday, September 7th from noon to 2 p.m. I am also the author of my new book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, which was released and published on New Year's Eve, 2013, just a few months ago. Now, my book is essentially a memoir and a journal of the past 5 years. It is a story of self-rediscovery, of synchronicity, of inspiration, a story of the human experience, my experience. In a nutshell, the book is essentially about becoming reconnected back to the interconnectivity that we all have seemed to have furthered ourselves away from within the falling from grace of humanity and collaboration. It is all about reconnecting back to the unified field of everything through the entryways and doorways of our hearts. Now, according to metaphysicist Nikola Tesla, and I quote, "If you really want to understand the deepening secrets of the universe, look at everything in terms of energy, vibration, and frequency." And because I had allowed for myself to look inward within this process of change within myself, I was blessed by the same vibrations and frequencies for which I was frequently expressing and exuding throughout all of my very being from the many journeys experienced from those last 5 years of personal awakening. Now, because I was living within an existence, should I say, of heightened being, the law of attraction, the law of reciprocity, was becoming even more apparent and self-evident within my life. And even more so, with such strength and passion, I began to notice that I was experiencing one miracle at a time. Through the heightened and powerful words that I spoke, the purity of my intentions, the clarity of my thoughts, and in the sound nature and legitimacy of my behaviors. When I soon began performing and experiencing the most positive and brighter side of things, I began to improve on my meditation practice and quality and in increased frequency. I began to travel to the most aspiring and inspiring places on the face of the planet. I began to journal. I began to write. I began to improve upon my photography and enjoying the beauty of things. I began to live within the world of love once more. I began to express the truest of my purpose within my spirit. I began to live within the world without fear. One synchronicity, one miraculous coincidence, one after the other, began to manifest within itself, within my existence, throughout the many events within my life. From the Rite Aid Full Marathon in 2012, Cleveland, Ohio, to Times Square New Year's Eve in 2009, Serpent Mound in Adams County, Ohio, Sedona, Arizona, to the Hopi Mesas, the Grand Canyon, Machu Picchu, Peru, and to the miraculous message discovered and favored with blessing at Chichen Itza, Mexico, and the Yucatan, when I and my dear wife, Tiffany, had experienced a miracle right before our very own eyes. And one synchronicity had placed itself near and dear. It had led me straight from one miracle to the other, to this very person that I am today, an author an online radio talk show host, a motivational speaker, and an awakener of hearts.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Joe Vitale. I'm one of the stars of the hit movie The Secret, and I'm the author of way too many books to even list here, including The Attractor Factor and Life's Missing Instruction Manual. You're listening to BBS Radio, so fasten your seatbelts, get ready to be inspired and informed. You're in for a wild ride.
This is Margo Raimundo, and you're listening to my latest album, My Heart's Desire. You can find me at margoraimundo.com or tune in right here at BBS Radio, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile.
And now we are back. But before we proceed any further, I would just like to make mention of some late-breaking good news. And here at Quantum Mindfulness Radio, we will be starting off each show with exactly just that, the good news. And the intentions of this is primarily derived from the fact stemming from the notion that we are pummeled every day with so many late-breaking negative news and disinformation rooting from the popular media. Now, these broadcasts invariably so receive from the popular media of sorts of negative and disheartening connotation, which seem to intentionally elicit a conducive response from the very masses and viewers of television viewing, portray a perception and almost an elusive portrayal of how the world is seen. In my opinion, the world is a wonderful, beautiful, and magical place. It is filled with wonder, with so much abundance, and it is filled with plenty. Even more so for anyone else and in everyone else on this plane, on Mother Earth, on Mother Gaia. But unfortunately, within this process, we have perceived the world, our world, and in ourselves as inefficient, negative, unkind, disheartening victims of our environments. We have viewed ourselves and in the world in itself as being dangerous, unworthy of being trusted. Our environments are filled with mistrust and paranoia, significantly so with paranoia. We have observed ourselves as being insufficient and incapable of changing our world inside and out. Because of fear. There is significantly some truth to this portrayal, only if we truly believe in what we perceive. Reality is based upon perception. Perception is based upon what we know to be true. We have essentially been conditioned to look for the resolution of things from outside of ourselves instead of looking from within. But tangibly, what if from what we have always been told throughout all of history, throughout all of this time, from our history books, the popular media, our governing officials, what if we were only told and exposed to certain potential truths, of certain potential half-truths for that matter, and then not the entire story? But only a portion of what is supposedly true. What if only we were given a book and only a slight portion from all of knowledge, from all of wisdom, but none provided from the actual and truest book derived from the many volumes that are derived truly from such an all-knowing knowledge and wisdom? A wisdom which foretells and describes of our truest nature, our truest history, our ultimate potential and truths and legitimacy. And so the reason for the show, Quantum Mindfulness Radio, is all about bringing about the good news, the shifting of our perspectives. But if I should bring about and raise certain issues concerning the negativity of things at times, it is only for the intentions of raising awareness and in not focusing upon the fear. Now, there is a significant portion to all things in life, and in how we approach all matters, and in situations, and in how we respond and react to all of our environments. There is a responsibility in how we respond to all things, from the popular media, the negative broadcastings of things, the warmongering, the racism, the segregation, the paranoia, the fear. We must respond in similar fashion to all of our environments in parallel to that of an aged and wisdom-filled olden oak tree. Non-judgmental of its landscape and stature, strong within its roots, calming within its demeanor, beautiful and unwavering inside and out within its candor. Then, we must proceed within its mindset and becoming the very examples of our own hearts. Now, the very topics in which I will be covering within the next several episodes of this talk show, which may seem unorthodox at times and almost inconceivable to one's egoic nature. It may almost seem to be like an introduction of sorts to a new wisdom, a new philosophy, a new way of thinking. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You are absolutely correct. You are absolutely right. Only if we had forgotten of our truest worth, only if we had plunged into a state of amnesia. Because of our social conditioning of sorts, we have essentially fallen from grace and we have plunged into a darkened age within the withholding of consciousness, the withholding of truths. The intentions of this show is to encourage the ushering in within the changing of our perspectives, the changing of paradigms. My purpose here as host is to not only encourage and to bring about to as many awakened souls of their truest purpose, whom are not only attempting to teach this philosophy to others, this way of life, this new paradigm to thinking, of being, and of perceiving, but in acting as the example for all others to follow. And for all of the endearing souls whom are neither cognizant nor aware of where I am actually going with all of this, from the introductions of this premier radio talk show, I should only hope and pray that I am able to reach you at the most simplistic of levels so that the message is purely acknowledged and understood at its best. My intentions are to reach as many people as possible, and reaching their hearts within that unified field of existence in togetherness and unity and consciousness. My desire is to encourage as many souls from all spiritualities, all cultures, all religions, and in all walks of life that can be possibly encountered to opening their hearts to the truths and in freeing of their minds from all of the clutter, the disinformation, the withholding of truths, the diversional epithet of what is actually being broadcasted to the very roots of our psyche, our awareness, our consciousness. Now, the very first good news of topic in which we will speak of for this show is an article written by Maria Popova, entitled Timeless Wisdom from the Late Nelson Mandela. And again, this article was written by Maria Popova from a popular truth website syndicated from www.brainpickings.org. Now, this article was written on December 6th of 2013, and I will just read a small portion, a little excerpt from this article, as I quote, "The greatest glory in living lies not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. We have lost Nelson Mandela, unequaled patron saint of equality, a patron of peace and of human rights. But while the body might be extinguished, the spirit remains forever within us, a spirit that not only changed political history, but also tirelessly elevated humanity into a higher version of itself. Out of the experience of an extraordinarily human disaster that lasted way too long, must be born a society of which all of humanity will be proud. The time for the healing of the wounds has come. The moment to bridge the chasms that divide us has come. The time to build is now upon us. In his 1995 autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, Mandela speaks to the conditioning that produces both love and hate. No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin, nor of his background, nor of his religion. People must learn to hate. They must be conditioned in order to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its polar opposite. Now, my interpretation of all of this is that as a society, indeed, we have been conditioned to mistrust. We have been conditioned to worry. We have been conditioned to dread and to find a certain level of disgust within our every day-to-day. We have essentially been conditioned to fear. And to where there is fear, there is control. And with control, there is enslavement. Enslavement of our minds. Ultimately, to me, I feel that the greatest type of enslavement is not within the physical sense of things, upon the surface of things, upon our own physioanatomies and skin color, nor of natural appearance from what can be seen and observed from our own five senses, but rather within the prisons of our untrained and undisciplined minds. If we are prisoners of our own minds through self-judgment, judgment of others, hatred, anger, resentment, worry, and unforgiveness, and fear, we essentially prevent the process of healing, the taking in of abundance, and in the evolution of our truest being, in consciousness within this life. Often at times, I have made reference to this inspiring analogy of Nelson Mandela, and in this tragedy of imprisonment, an imprisonment that lasted for over 26 years of his precious life, physically within the walls of his own captors. But then he was given a choice in either to submit himself to the imprisonment of unforgiveness and in hatred and in fear, or rather to submitting himself to the power of love, the opening of hearts, the blessings of forgiveness, acceptance, and release. In other words, I would often tell my clients, my patients, that even though perhaps that they are locked and seemingly imprisoned indefinitely behind the closed doors of a psychiatric unit, and then no matter how long nor how passionately they demand to being released, they will always be the prisoners of their own egos, their fears, their worries, ultimately the holders to the keys of their imprisonment. The longer that they hold on to these egoic chains, the longer that they are capable of holding themselves down, clipped of their wings, incapable of flight. I could literally and voluntarily give them the keys to the front door to physical freedom, but they would never be free from the chains and bars, nor of the enclosing walls nor fissures which holds them locked within the restrictions of their own minds. If only they should continue to prevent the blessings of release and of acceptance come to settle in within the freedoms of their own perceptions. Now, how many of us walk openly and freely to choose in where and what to do and wherever and however we may choose to go or to proceed in the physical sense of things and of being? But when it comes to the ego and within the mindset of things for which we have been conditioned through far way too long within this society, we are considerably chained and imprisoned within the angst of judgment, fear, ridicule, and paranoia. This in itself cannot be considered ultimate freedom. Despite the fact that we walk freely in the physical sense of things from one step to the very next. This is the illusion. This is the fallacy. Until we have all come to the realization that we indeed have a power within all of us, together in unity, more than what governments and corporations and governing institutions have given us and granted us worthy credit to the freedoms of free will. Then shall the new world come to manifest itself to what was always meant to be. Through perception, we are the holders of our truest realities. And besides, the only control that we truly possess lies from within the control that we can usher in from what we perceive through our hearts. The perceptions that we hold towards our environments, ourselves, and within the world. Truly, I believe that in order to change the world, this world, we must change the perceptions that we hold against our current state of being. This olden paradigm of egoic thought. We must love always, no matter the landscape, the dilemma, the situation, the crises. And this is a difficult process. A most difficult process indeed. Only if we believe that it is difficult. Only if we allow for this process to being difficult. Only if we grant approval and undeniable consent to the difficulty of such a process. And as a resolution, we must collaboratively shift in paradigm to the makings of our hearts. And only through and within our hearts we can together, as humanity, walk into unity consciousness, into what Albert Einstein has referred to as the unified field. Now this is where quantum physics and in heart-based, research-based science makes an entrance into this hypothesis of being within this mindset of ultimate freedom. And in where spirituality and philosophy come in together hand in hand to meeting and greeting science and strengthening our state of awareness with the armor and shielding of resiliency to the next heightened stage of conscious evolution. In order to change the outer worlds of things, we must change from within. The process of awakening, this process of awakening that we speak of, is a very profound and wonderful process. It is inspiring and magical. And there is nothing wrong with magic nor miracle. The greatest journey is when we are most able to travel from the world of limitations derived from our heads to the makings and limitlessness of our hearts. The journey of enlightenment is alchemic in nature, as the entire process possesses the capacity to changing the lead of an ordinary consciousness and awareness to the gold of an enlightened heart. And this is the purpose of this new online radio talk show, Quantum Mindfulness Radio. Not only to enlighten and to opening our eyes, but to opening an existence to an awakening. An awakening. An awakening. And now, as we are closing in upon the last 10 minutes of the show, I would like to shift our focus to another article, and this article was retrieved from www.truthout.org, and the name of the article is entitled Shocking Facts About America's For-Profit Prison Industry, written by Beth Buzinski on February 6th of 2014. And I am going to read from a small portion of this article for the lack of time that we do have, and we only have 10 minutes to go within the show. As I quote, "As long as there have been human societies, there have been criminals. Despite the best efforts of lawmakers and religions, humans cannot be trusted to do the right thing. As so they say, as so of what the popular media says. Even when we're aware of the consequences. The prison system used to be a last resort, a place you sent people when other forms of punishment were ineffective. Now it's grown into something much darker and even less rehabilitative. Now, unknown to the many, the prison system has become a for-profit business in which inmates are the product. A system that has shocking similarities to another human-based business form from America's past. Slavery. Enslavement. In late 2013, a new report from a publishing called In the Public Interest revealed that private prison companies are striking deals within states that contain clauses guaranteeing high prison occupancy rates, sometimes 100%. This means that states agree to supply prison corporations with a steady flow of residents, whether or not that level of criminal activity exists. Some experts believe this relationship between government and private prison corporations encourages law enforcement agencies to using underhanded tactics, often targeting minority and underserved groups to filling these cells. Now, as a result, there are now over 2 million people living behind bars in the United States. That's 500,000 more than China, which has a population 5 times greater than the U.S. Many are incarcerated for nonviolent crimes like the use or possession of marijuana and other problems that would far better be served through a rehabilitation process or educational program. The worst part is that once captured by the prison industry, inmates are forced to work for pennies on the dollar for every hour, providing cheap labor for some of the most profitable enterprises in the world, including the United States military. According to another publication, the Left Business Observer, the federal prison industry produces 100% of all military helmets, ammunition belts, bulletproof vests, ID tags, shirts, pants, tents, and bag items and canteens. Along with other war supplies, which are being produced, prison workers supply 98% of the entire market for equipment assembly services, 93% of paints and paintbrushes, 92% of stove assembly, 46% of body armor, 36% of home appliances, 30% of headphones, microphones, speakers, and 21% of office furniture. Now, when you can get that kind of labor for less than a dollar a day, it's hard to see the government's motivation for incarcerating fewer and less people within the prison system. And it's all done and performed at the taxpayers' expense. Again, the intention here is awareness. From this, we are taking the very steps to an unveiling to the heightened states of awareness, to what now we are bringing into consciousness of what was at one point unconscionable. So what is truly in question here? Is it for what is seen on the surface, which is the crime within itself, where a sentence of hard time and in the many years of imprisonment is the sentence given for the convicted? Now, let's just think here for a moment. And as we observe and evaluate from what was observed and read. Ladies and gentlemen, of course not. This is plainly the obvious. It is plainly the diversion. The diversion. What is truly the question here lies within the intention of things of underlying secrecy. There is a war machine out there and in which it is fed with the blood of human beings and either the convicted and in the innocent and either from the hardship of tax dollars wasted to funding these jailhouse corporations for such an inhumane agenda to the denigrating humiliation resulting from the angst of cheapening labor. It is being fed continually by the blood of the many thousands of lives lost, not only of the most innocent of casualties whom are caught within the middle, but also by the blood of our sons and daughters who fight these very wars in harm's way, at the very front lines for the sake of money. ever-deepening pockets for the sake of the corporations, for the elite, for the haves and not the have-nots. The illusion, my friends, is from what we see, smell, and hear upon the surface. The reality, on the other hand, can truly be observed upon the intentions which lie hidden from sight, away from the actual diversion within itself. Now, hypothetically, and breaking things down to its most simplistic of levels, from the complexity and all the details discovered from quantum physics and the metaphysical science, what if we were able to envision and parallel all of known reality and all of known awareness and consciousness of the universe and to all of what can be fathomed to the size of a watermelon? But within the same token, we must also acknowledge the fact that the size of this watermelon shape is also expanding in similar fashion within the dynamics of a balloon. A balloon expanding to the exhalation of God's every breath, breathing life into all of known existence. Now, in placing this visualization to the side, as a balloon is taking up the size of a watermelon, and even more so to the size of a beach ball with every divine breath that is blown into its space, we are now to visualize our state of awareness, humanity's current level of consciousness, to the size of a grape. And as you can see, there is a huge and significant difference between the size of a grape to the size of an ever-expanding beach ball. And this grape-size awareness is mainly from the fact that our level of consciousness is limited and restricted by our five known senses. Our senses of sight, smell and taste, sound and touch sensation. Now, the difference between these two sizes, from the beach ball to the grape, is what I would like to refer to as the uncolonized subconsciousness. So now, let's take the conversation of topic to the next level. We already know that we possess the awareness of the size of a grape because of our five senses. But what if we were to diminish our awareness even more to the size of a mere seed, the seed of a grape? But Joel, you may ask yourself, why would you even want to desire this? Why would you want to diminish our level of awareness even further from the size of a grape to the size of a mere seed? Ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what is being done at this very moment and at these very times. But we must open now our eyes from this deepened sleep and awaken. It's simply not the fact that we choose to diminish our awareness, but within the fact that we as humanity have been conditioned by society, the ruling factions of things, the creators of society, to allowing us and being unaware and incognizant of our truths in human history, in human evolution, the political agenda of things, of worldly events, the truest reason behind war, our true interconnectivity with one another as human beings, and in not, and I repeat, not within our separateness, which is the fallacy, which is the illusion. But ladies and gentlemen, within the fact that within all of our hearts that we least desire war, fear, and poverty, that we least desire pain and loss, we least desire competition, and that we most desire instead, as a species, cooperation, justice, peace and love, togetherness, unity, and devaluing, the value for all of life. We can already see the intentions of the masses of many millions of people from all over the globe in voicing their truest of intentions for peace and not within the resolution of war. Otherwise, we would have already proceeded into our total annihilation, into the next proceedings of the next war. And yes, the people have spoken. We are now seeing the power within our voice, and with every positive voice comes words of virtue, intentions for love and abundance, thoughts of integrity and justice, and behaviors which mimic the heightened vibrations and realms of frequencies of heaven upon earth. And yes, heaven upon earth. And with this said, ladies and gentlemen, we have run completely out of time. But thank you for joining me here on this wonderful night on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. Please join me once more in 2 weeks on Monday, April 14th at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we will be covering the topic of the Observer Effect, and then placing focus upon the other latest discoveries of quantum physics, as we will be delving further into the power of our own intentions, and in the importance of how we can actively perceive things through the power of all of our hearts. Book purchases for the Book of Positive Light can be made at my official website at www.thebookofpositivelight. Again, that is at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Future speaking events and access to my author blog spot can also be retrieved from my website. Again, at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. If you have missed this particular episode, or even if you would desire to listen again upon this specific broadcast, please log on to www.bbsradio.com. Again, that is www.bbsradio.com. All of my previous shows will be archived continuously on the BBS Radio Network. Again, thank you for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. God bless you dearly. God bless everyone. Namaste. In Lakish Alakin.